WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
CBS News Brief. Iranians are fleeing their capital as Israeli strikes hit the state-run broadcaster and an underground nuclear facility. The BBC's G.R. Gol has been talking to Iranians.
And many people are angry with the government. They say this is not their fight. This is the government war they impose on the country. And so many people are angry with the economic situation, with inflation.
In Israel, air raid sirens in Tel Aviv and Jerusalem warning of incoming missiles ahead of Iranian strikes on day number 5 of the conflict. Retail sales fell a worse than expected 0.9% last month as consumers pulled back on spending ahead of new tariffs. CBS News business analyst Jill Schlesinger.
People seem to be buying a lot of cars in March and stayed away from some of the car dealerships in May, worried that higher prices were already in place.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For 540 WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Tonight in Oak Creek, constituents of Congressman Brian Stile are set to host a town hall. A statement from a group called Opportunity Wisconsin says they're trying to raise concerns over cuts to Medicaid and SNAP. They say Stile and other Republicans have supported cuts. The GOP says they're only targeting abuse of the system. Organizers of the town hall at the Oak Creek Community Center have invited Stile to attend. Protesters yesterday gathered outside Stile's Racine County Courthouse office. The event tonight will be open to the public and it starts at 6. Docking in Milwaukee is about to get more cost-effective. Milwaukee leaders gathered at Port Milwaukee yesterday to celebrate a major federal trade policy shift. Going forward, big shipping boats on the Great Lakes are now exempt from a $1.5 million port fee. The fee was originally intended for ocean-going ships as part of a crackdown on Chinese-built vessels, but local leaders say the exemption will protect nearly half of Port Milwaukee's trade. Congresswoman Gwen Moore and other officials say the move will create jobs and expand the port's role. There were likely some tense moments over the weekend for one of our U.S. senators. Lisa Hale has more.
U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin's office confirmed her name was on the manifesto of the Minnesota assassin. A spokesperson in Baldwin's office told Civic Media's Dan Schaefer that Baldwin was informed by law enforcement that she was included on the alleged shooter's list of names and that she, quote, remains focused on the things that matter most here, honoring the legacy and life of Representative Melissa Hortman and her husband Mark, praying for the other victims who are fighting for their lives, and condemning this abhorrent, senseless political violence, end quote.
And that's news on 540 WAUK. I'm Stuart J. Waddles. News at the top and bottom of the hour, or anytime at WAUKradio.com.
Brewers in Chicago. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, where the Brewers begin a three-game series tonight at Wrigley Field against the first-place team, the Chicago Cubs, led by manager Craig Counsell. Although the Brewers were able to slip into second place after beating the Cards 3 out of 4 games, Pat Murphy says there's still room for growth.
We're still young. We're still figuring out. We're not like the Cardinals or the Cubs or the Reds. They got a set kind of 10 or 12 guys they go with. We're still figuring things out. You know, this is a group. They're the right dudes. You know what I mean? And that's why they play to win.
College football, the Badgers excited about 6'1" receiver Zion Legree out of Florida agreeing to commit to Wisconsin next year. Receivers coach Jordan Reed asked if his guys are anxious to return after going 5-7 last season.
It's a hungry room for that reason alone. Everybody feels they got something to prove. Everybody feels. And really, we're taking it as a room mentality. Like, we got everything to prove this year.
That's the Badgers receivers coach Jordan Reed with sports on Mike Clemens.
This report is brought to you by Freedom Fireworks, with 20 locations throughout southeastern Wisconsin. FreedomFireworksWI.com.
Partly cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms possible this afternoon. Our high today, 79. More scattered thunderstorms tonight with thunderstorms and heavy rain likely tomorrow. We could get 1 to 1.5 inches or more of rain from late tonight with the heaviest rain tomorrow into tomorrow night. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 78.
The 4th of July is right around the corner, and Freedom Fireworks has everything your family needs for a safe and exciting holiday celebration. With 20 southeastern Wisconsin locations fully stocked up with everything from sparklers to artillery shells, thundersnaps to 500-gram aerials, Freedom Fireworks guarantees to bring smiles and cheers to every backyard celebration. For fireworks from all the top brands and specials that can't be beat, go to freedomfireworkswi.com for a location near you. Freedom Fireworks wishes you a safe and happy 4th of July.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Mark Sommerhauser, the communications director for the Wisconsin Policy Forum, analyzing the impacts of the big brutal bill.
That number that you mentioned of nearly $15,000 per person, literally about a quarter of the state's economy.
Basically a quarter of the state's economy coming from the federal government. I'm not hearing from Republicans in the state in their biennial budget planning any sort of contingency plan for major disruption in federal funding coming into the state.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. Pete Schwab.
On the next Nightlight, Madison film critic Rob Thomas joins me for some movie talk, and then Milwaukee Journal Sentinel music writer Piet Levy joins me to talk Summerfest. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwab. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Real news, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond. 540 WAUK.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us. Call or text. The number is the same. 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Or you can leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Delighted to be joined by a frequent guest of ours. And if you watch cable news, he has been all over the place on shows much bigger than ours. Retired Major General Randy Manner is here. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning, Jane and Greg and Calvin. Good to see you all again.
Appreciate you making time for us. There are a lot of things going on. I wanted to start off with a little bit talking about the big parade on Saturday, marking the 250th birthday of the Army, also in conjunction with Donald Trump's 79th birthday. There were a lot of comments that I saw, Randy, about the lack of precision, I guess I would say, in the marching that was displayed. And there are some folks who think that that was deliberate, that that was a deliberate sign from our troops, maybe kind of a passive-aggressive sign from our troops that they really didn't want to be there.
Okay, so first of all, I need to thank all the members, past and present, of the U.S. Army for celebrating 250 years of service to our nation. It is absolutely amazing that we have been able to sustain a heritage of service to our citizens and defending our country. And so my sincere thanks go out to every single soldier, past and present. And my thanks to all the soldiers that were in that parade. I need to tell all of your listeners, soldiers hate parades.
I bet.
I hate parades. When I was a lieutenant in the 82nd Airborne, which many of those soldiers were from, we did a probably, I think there were about 10 to 14,000 member pass and review, which is a huge monster parade. And it was very old school. And we practiced for days and days and days. And then uniforms had to be perfect. And you know, it's not what we do. And we all hated it. And it's horrible. So my heart goes out to all those soldiers that did it. And good for you for following your orders and for doing it. And I'm proud of you for doing that. At the same time, we hate parades. Mm. I've celebrated birthdays for the Army in combat zones. I've done it in the Pentagon. I've done it at Fort Bragg. I've done it literally all around the world. And the Army concept of a celebration of our birthday is we have a birthday cake, number one, or many, depending on the number of troops.
Sure.
We invite up the oldest member of the group, the youngest member. They cut the cake, not the colonel or the general or the sergeant major. They cut the cake. We have brief, and I mean 3 or 4 minute speeches by a few people, the senior enlisted leader. We ask the junior person to speak. And we have cake and we have like an hour break in the day and we celebrate us and we celebrate us and we tell stories and it's very low key, but yet everyone appreciates the cake, you know. Unfortunately, that's not what happened here on Saturday.
What I'm hearing from you, sir, is you take an hour out of your day to celebrate your the culture of the military and what you have done, because more than that, honestly, is a diversion of time, manpower, resources, and you got to get back to work and do the thing. Whereas this parade, and I share your feelings about this as far as them coming here to Washington and doing what they were told to do to celebrate. I get that. But that is a massive diversion of resources, time, manpower, projects that are not getting done, work that's not being done, all to the tune of tens of millions of dollars. When you said perfectly, they don't want to be there.
Right. And Jane, answering your question specifically is that in contrast to the Russian parades, the North Korean parades, where you see everybody literally marching perfectly.
Yes.
Well, those are typically because they spend hundreds and hundreds. I mean, literally, we're talking hundreds, not tens, but hundreds and hundreds of hours practicing. Well, what are they doing? They're practicing marching.
Yeah.
Now, in the United States military, thank goodness those days that I was involved with as a lieutenant many decades ago are long gone. We don't march. The only people who train how to march are ceremonial units,
right,
like the 3rd Infantry Regiment out of Fort Myer for funerals and for state events. They've got to look sharp. Their uniforms have got to be super straight. And it's like that's an honor for them to do what they do to represent the military with foreign dignitaries and for burials and so on. The average soldier, including me, we barely go left, right, left, right. So in answering your question, I don't think it was a deliberate act to say they were basically protesting silently. I don't think so. I really don't. That's too many people. It's unlikely. I think it's because we don't practice that.
Well, and I think you make an excellent, excellent point. Good heavens, they are trained to go to war. They are not trained to march in formation. They are not trained to look like a marching band. That's not what our troops are trained for. And it makes me think, Major General, that when we look at these troops in North Korea and Russia, you almost have to wonder if they have a unit that isn't specially devoted just to that.
Well, but remember, there are massive numbers of those soldiers that are in those parades. I mean, massive numbers. We had whatever it was, 6,000 or 7,000. They will have 10, 20, 30, 40, 50,000 all marching with just as concise movements. It is a large very large parade. And so you probably have seen memes all over the place with, you know, Putin and the leader of North Korea laughing at our soldiers and so on, and our tanks being, instead of it being 200 tanks, there's only like 50 tanks.
Right.
Well, the point is, our military trains for combat, and that is what we do. And we are excellent at it. And everybody in the world knows we're good at this. We're not trying to beat our chest. That's why we don't have parades like this.
Right.
We will see you on the battlefield. We will not, we're not going to see you on the parade field. So I don't think this was a silent protest. I think it's just indicative of the fact that, thank goodness, and I hope it never changes, we don't devote lots of time to practice marching.
Yeah. Sir, one of the things that we talked about last week, I think this parade is indicative of where the administration has gone, because we shouldn't forget that he wanted to do this in his first term, and the people around him, the guardrails, essentially,
yes,
whether it was military or just even in the White House, said, no, we can't do this. We shouldn't do this. It doesn't look good. I don't know if you were there, if you were still working at the time, but it shows, one, it shows just that the guardrails are gone. He can do whatever he wants, and everyone's going to say, yes, that's a wonderful idea. Let's have a parade. But also, was there any, in your experience, any president or anyone who said, maybe we should have a parade? That would be a good idea.
So it's important to look back in history. The United States has had military parades. Mm-hmm. It's like at the end of World War One, at the end of World War Two, after Desert Storm. However, it was in the moment. It wasn't like, let's have a parade today.
Yeah.
And the idea that it was a 250th anniversary, yeah, whatever.
Right.
And that's just not good enough. It's not worth spending all of that taxpayer money, your money, my money, and all your listeners' money to put that parade on. It was obvious, and it was sad.
It was,
quite frankly.
Yes.
All the empty bleachers. I mean, it was just absolutely feeding the egos of the people that were in those stands right there in front of the White House or the side of the White House. And it's just very, very unfortunate. It was an absolute inappropriate use of taxpayer money and of soldiers' time. I need to also comment, you know, I have stood in Red Square. I have stood in Tiananmen Square. I have stood in North Korea on the edge of the DMZ. I have seen the way that dictators use their military, not only to, quite frankly, show their might on TV, but also, quite frankly, it's a threat to the people.
To their own people.
To show, hey, don't screw with us,
yep,
because these guys could be in your backyard tomorrow.
Mm.
And by the way, it happens all the time. And that is something where we must not ever allow this to be normalized. It is absolutely not right to have soldiers and Marines on the street of LA. I am appalled. The president has approved 700 additional people for Florida, Texas, and somewhere else. I just saw the press release, Texas, Florida, Louisiana, to help with ICE operations. We've got to get the military out of this business and turn it over to those that are trained to do this. It just appalls me. It is a misuse of, again, we need these scarce, highly trained resources to practice and do the things they need to do to protect the nation,
yes,
not to implement his policies internally in the United States.
If you're just joining us, retired Major General Randy Manner is our guest with the U.S. Army for more than 30 years, talking about all the many developments around the second Trump presidency. And going back to what you had said about Trump sending in troops into L.A. without the request of the governor, without the request of California's attorney general, the L.A. police chief, the L.A. mayor, no one requested this. And now I also saw this morning that they are planning on more ICE raids in blue cities. Now they're going to concentrate on blue cities. I can only imagine, Randy, that the troops have to be appalled by this duty.
So I have been talking with only a few dozen people in the Guard and in active duty. And it's important for your listeners to hear, while, of course, the exact details are still working their way through the court system, it is my opinion these are probably legal orders. I mean, that's my opinion based on being the Vice Chief of the National Guard, the Acting Vice Chief of the National Guard Bureau. And given that they're legal orders, the military is obligated to do it. Now, is it make it right? Well, of course not. Is it a gross misuse of a scarce resource? Absolutely it is. What we are seeing is two important things. Before I even say my two important things, I want to applaud the law enforcement of Los Angeles. They are doing a wonderful job keeping things under control. And this is, again, a law enforcement operation, not a military operation.
Right.
I say again to your listeners, this is a law enforcement operation, not a military operation. There is zero need for those military. There's zero need, especially Marines. If that's not using military to intimidate the local population, I've worked with Marines all over the world. Marines have one objective: go kill that target. Okay, boss, I'm going to go kill that target. I'm going to knock it down. And they are the best in the world at what they are trained to do. That does not make them qualified in any manner of any imagination to put them in with United States citizens, literally feet apart. That's not right.
We're going to continue our conversation with retired Major General Randy Manner on the other side. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 540 WAUK, Milwaukee's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Are you ever questioning when life will slow down? Are you ever thinking of just relaxing and enjoying the simple things? All of this is possible, even while still being in the workforce. Worthington, Minnesota is a town growing, yet it's nothing like metro life. Professional and labor jobs, a beautiful lake, bike trails, recreation, acres of public hunting, festivals, and great people. Slow down. We're just a short drive away. So come join us. Worthington, it's worth a look.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. May 12th, the U.S. Department of Justice reportedly requested all the state of Colorado's records relating to the 2024 federal election and the preservation of records related to the 2020 election. The request may relate to President Trump's effort to free a convicted Colorado election official. The records request is massive. In November 2024, there were 4.65 million registered Colorado voters, 3.3 million of whom cast ballots in the presidential election. Then consider the records from every electronic ballot tabulator, voter registration and verification documents for each voter, and more. Colorado Secretary of State Jenna Griswold told NPR, "What they're going to do with all this data, I don't know, but I'm sure they'll use it to push their ridiculous disinformation and lies to the American public," she said. There is speculation that it may be related to convicted Mesa County elections official Tina Peters, sentenced to 9 years for giving voting machine access to conspiracy theorists tied to MyPillow CEO Mike Lindell. The week before the Colorado records request, DOJ was directed by President Trump to, quote, take all necessary action to help secure the release of Peters. To date, Colorado has reportedly provided two copies of its master voter list to DOJ and its 2024 voter history file. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
We are the National Park Foundation, and together with you, we're creating a future where every person, every generation gets their chance at an unforgettable moment. Learn more at nationalparks.org/foundation.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Our guest is retired Major General Randy Manner. Spent more than 30 years in the U.S. Army, talking about a number of things, including President Trump's birthday parade, ostensibly to celebrate the 250th birthday of the U.S. Army. Greg and I have talked about this, Major General, weeks before you joined us, that the Navy and the Marines got to feel kind of bad because they both have birthdays this year, too, and they don't get a big splashy parade. But
please don't think that. We don't know what's going to happen yet.
Well, that's true. Yeah, that's very true. You had a couple of points you wanted to make before we had to go to the break.
Yes, please. Whether you live in a red county or a blue county, no matter where you are in the political spectrum, there are two things that every American should be concerned about: the deployment of American soldiers and Marines within our cities, towns, and so on. And the first one is everybody, our First Amendment rights to free speech are absolutely being trampled. This is critical, critically important for everybody. I don't care who you are to understand this is the beginning of this crackdown. Number two, the federal government is absolutely stomping on states' rights to govern themselves.
Yes.
And again, this is a common theme. I don't care if you're red or blue. Leave the darn states alone to do what they need to do to take care of their citizens. this idea of calling in the National Guard, taking it away from California and saying, nope, sorry, you are an idiot. I don't like you because you don't agree with me. And therefore, I'm going to take over stuff in your state. That's just so anti-American and so anti what we all should be appalled about as Americans, no matter what end of the political spectrum we're under.
Absolutely. But you're so right, Randy. And I think you make a really good point as well, just about the visual intimidation factor and how that gets into your head and how that works its way into people's heads. And I think it's really important that folks keep that in mind. And like you said, this affects all of us. Red, blue, green, pink, whatever.
And one of the things we've said before many times on this show is that, yes, you may love the administration, the president, whomever it is, but when they are pulling things like this and testing loyalties and deploying troops and police on places who disagree with them, there will come a time when you are in their crosshairs because you won't be enough, or you'll just be collateral damage because they don't care about you enough to say, well, does Steve like us? Nah, I don't care. So at some point, you will be in their crosshairs. They will find you not enough,
loyal enough.
Enough for them.
Right. That's what we all need to be concerned about, is federal government, leave us alone.
Yeah.
Okay.
And as you said, Randy, the Republicans have all been about states' rights. It's all about states' rights. Send it back to the states. Abortion, send it back to the states. It's all about state rights, except when it's not. Except when they don't want it to be.
And that's really where we have to have the discussion and the soul searching for those people who are not members of the cult right now, is for those people who have the ability to look within themselves and to talk to their neighbors about what really is going on. Then there is some hope for them to see this is not what America is about. Mm-hmm. Those members that are of a cult, the leader can do no wrong. We already know about that.
Yep.
But for everyone else, we need to stand up. And we need to provide hope to our neighbors, to each other, to our children, that they can grow up, quite frankly, being all they can be, using an Army recruiting slogan. Sorry. But anyway.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's what we saw this past weekend, was millions of people marching peacefully through the streets saying, this is not what America is. This is not us. We are a group. We are about freedom, and they've weaponized the word freedom, but we are about standing up and utilizing those rights that are in the Constitution that our leaders are supposed to be defending. Thank goodness lawyers and judges are doing that right now. But yeah, I think that hope I saw this past weekend.
Yes, I completely agree. That was what was on display. And it's also something where whether you are poor or you're middle class or you're rich, anywhere in between, we all got to get through this thing together. We've got to get through this together. And this issue about immigration, it's very important for me to remind everybody, 97% of every human being in the United States is an immigrant. 97%. So sometimes you got to get off all your high horse and say, well, wait, I just don't like brown-skinned people. I mean, come on. My great-great-great-grandparents immigrated from Germany in the 1840s. I'm an immigrant, or I'm descendant of an immigrant.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. And we all are. We have, 97% of us are.
Well, and statistically, again, if you want to look at the numbers, immigrants to this country commit crimes at far, far lower rates than do actual citizens of this country.
Yeah.
Oh, look, I will tell you that the immigrants that I know in the neighborhood here in Virginia, unequivocally, and by the way, please understand, I am 100% for holding lawbreakers accountable for their actions. 100%. No doubt about this. Yep. At the same time, I'm going to tell you that the far overwhelming majority, which is typically far more than people who've been here for generations, they are extremely hardworking. They take the jobs that no one else wants. And I'm so proud of them that they're part of our society.
If only we would put some more money towards fixing our immigration system, that would help a whole lot of folks and help our country at the same time. Randy Manner is a retired Major General with the United States Army. Sir, thank you so very much for your time. Really, really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you, Gene and Greg and Kelvin.
We have news coming up next. Keep it here. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation, 540 WAUK. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For 540 WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. The early July date for Judge Dugan might be pushed back. The case against Milwaukee County Judge Hannah Dugan is likely to be delayed as the court considers her motions to dismiss the charges. A scheduling hearing is set for tomorrow to review arguments. Prosecutors argue Dugan is not entitled to judicial immunity for allegedly helping an undocumented man evade immigration agents. Her defense team says her actions were official judicial acts protected by centuries of legal precedent. There's an effort to boost security in the Badger State. In response to the recent shootings of Minnesota lawmakers and a threat list targeting 11 Wisconsin officials, state leaders are talking about enhanced security at the Capitol. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss says in a statement he wants increased protection for the next legislative session. The Senate Sergeant-at-Arms has already announced new safety protocols. Wisconsin's Capitol building is open to the public 7 days a week and does not require metal detectors or security badges for entry. Is it a big, bad problem or nothing to howl at? Brittany Merlot has more about what Wisconsin might do with the wolf population.
Conservation activists are petitioning the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources to list gray wolves as endangered or threatened at the state level as congressional Republicans seek to delist them at the federal level. The group urged the DNR to list the wolves as endangered to uphold science-based population management and protect the wolves from excessive hunting amid federal funding cuts. The wolves are delisted at the federal level. The state would be required to hold an annual wolf hunt. And over 200 wolves were harvested in the 2021 wolf hunt.
And that's news on 540 WAUK. I'm Stuart J. Waddles. News at the top and bottom of the hour, or anytime at waukradio.com.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Lilo and Stitch has finally been dethroned, and there is a new box office champ. How to Train Your Dragon was number one this past weekend with a whopping $83 million. The film brought in another $115 million overseas for a total of about $200 million worldwide. Universal Studios has already given the go-ahead for a live-action sequel. Lilo and Stitch still managed to come in second place in its fourth week with $15.5 million at the gate. So far, PG movies are king this summer as How to Train Your Dragon joins the Minecraft movie and Lilo and Stitch as box office titans. According to Variety, PG movies have generated almost half the box office take for the year to date and crossed over $1.5 billion. Coming in third place was A24's Materialists. The rom-com for adults brought in $12 million, exceeding expectations by a couple mil. And it's all about action for the final two films in the top five, which include Mission Impossible, The Final Reckoning, and John Wick's Ballerina. Dead Reckoning has made over a half a billion worldwide. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Mostly sunny, hot, and humid today with high temperatures nearing 90. Got chances for showers and thunderstorms sparking up early this evening, and some could be strong to severe, packing the risks for hail and high winds. Then tomorrow, cooler temperatures, more rain and thunderstorms. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, 78 degrees.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Ken, as I like to call him, my least favorite Martin, chairman of the Democratic National Committee.
The other night I said to myself for the first time, I don't know if I want to do this anymore.
Matt Flynn.
You go into combat and the general goes, I'm afraid. He reminds me of the coach of the Jets back in the 90s. The other team would come on the field and say, boy, they look big. No, I swear to God. And the Jets lost 12 games. I mean, right. You can't have this kind of stuff. Get this guy out of here. Put in Ben Wickler.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app, Todd Allbaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll be talking with James Small about rural EMS outreach across the state of Wisconsin and also fusion voting. Join us.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Box, Sweet Galby on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us. Call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Thanks to everybody who took part in our Civic Media statewide Text to Win Sconny Summer Contest. We had all kinds of winners, people who either picked up a hot $100, some Brewers tickets, and our grand prize winners, either a getaway in Door County or Baraboo with a gas card to get you there. Trace, listening on WMDX in Madison, and Melissa, listening to WHSM in Hayward. Well done. Congratulations, our grand prize winners. And just make sure you have the Civic Media app. We will have more contests coming your way. Our Ticket Fridays resumes on Friday.
And for those who won tickets or who won prizes or are going to win Brewers tickets or the two winners, when you're out doing things, send us pictures.
We'd love to see
pictures of your vacation, you know, family friendly pictures. But like, just we want to see you out and about and having fun. And, you know, it's good stuff. Hey, I'll even take a picture of you refilling your car with a gift card, guest. That thing we gave you, I mean,
that works too.
Take us with you.
Take us with you. Yeah. And let us know. You can always send it in to Jane Says at civicmedia.us. JaneSays. Jane Says at civicmedia.us. That reminds me, we have This Shouldn't Be a Thing coming up in a little bit to wrap up the show today. It is the Take a Seat edition with a visual element. I encourage you to stick around for that. You can also check it out a little bit later on our website at civicmedia.us. Right now, though, wow, this turned into something we weren't expecting.
This became a thing.
This became a thing yesterday for Audio Sorbet, the segment of the show where we like to take a breath, get away from the news, talk about sillier things, lighter things. So yesterday we were talking about bagels. The big question was bagels, toasted or no? Well, after the show, every day, Calvin picks a section of the show where we, it goes into
a chat.
Yeah. A chat room. Here's the segment to highlight from today's show. Yeah. And so Calvin included the bagel question. Yes. Bagels toasted or no? So within this chat, this internal chat within Civic Media, this turned into a thing.
Yeah, this became a heated debate on the topic of first of all, we get things done here. I just want to put that out there. We do good work here. Everyone here works hard. We got projects we achieve. We got things we got to take care of, and we work together as a family, and it's wonderful. But holy crime in Italy. Holy mother glory. I'm looking at this. I'm like, oh, my God. Yeah. There are opinions.
There are opinions. So here's kind of some of what happened in our Civic Media chat yesterday after the burning question of bagels toasted or no.
Pun.
Aaron Zommers, I'm offended that this question was asked. I love bagels, toasted or untoasted. Fair enough. You called him a snowflake.
Snowflake.
Casper, our friend, one of our engineers, toasting just seems like an unnecessary roadblock to me getting cream cheese into my face. Then again, so does the bagel itself. Just give me a spoon and a tub of cream cheese.
And that brings me back to my question from yesterday. Why if we just want to have some salsa, some cream cheese, some peanut butter or jelly or what? Some schmear.
Yeah.
Some schmear.
Little schmear.
Little like a green onion schmear. You're like, oh, I love that on a bagel. I just love the schmear. Why can't I walk into a room with a little thing of schmear and a spoon and be like, how's everyone doing? And then I'm looked at like some ill-equipped pariah.
You're a Philistine.
Ugh.
Yeah, it's just not socially acceptable.
I say fie on social acceptabilities in the construct. You do what you want.
Sommers continues. Again, this is within the group chat yesterday here at Civic Media after bagels toasted or no. For the record, I disagree that cupcakes are a frosting delivery system because that came up in the discussion as well.
Mm-hmm.
I'm here for the cake with a little bit of frosting. I have and will continue to scrape frosting off of cake or cupcakes that have like 3 inches of frosting on the top. Casper chimes in. Me too. Too much frosting is gross. Then Corey Hartman, also one of our engineers. Exactly. And buttercream for me. No stupid sweet 10 cups of powdered sugar.
Once again, we do get work here done.
The things actually get done.
And
then Jacob asked, do you toast your cupcakes? Which took it off an entirely different direction.
Jacob's a new guy. He asks weird questions. No, when I read that, my first thought was toasted cupcakes. That sounds like a toasted bottom of the cupcake. Ooh.
You think?
Why not?
See, I am not a cupcake. So this, okay. So
you're totally a cupcake.
I am not a cupcake fan.
Yeah.
Because to me, and I'm sorry, Aaron Sommers, a cupcake is a frosting delivery system. If I get a cupcake, I will rip the top off and only eat the top.
So you take the, all right. So you're
I take the frosting part off and that's the only part
I eat. Are you the same
way
with muffins? Like you only eat the muffin top?
I don't muffin.
You don't, oh, wow.
I don't really muffin.
Wow. I didn't realize you were rich. Because I told you how I eat cupcakes. I take the cupcake.
Which is smart.
It's not, and it doesn't really work with small cupcakes because you can just pop those like.
It's a one bite.
One and done. But with a traditional size cupcake or a little bit bigger, what you do is you take the top. You got to have big hands.
Mm-hmm.
You take the top and then you take the bottom and you twist apart.
Okay.
And then you place the bottom of the cupcake on top of the cupcake, smoosh it down, and you have a frosting sandwich.
Oh, frosting sandwich.
Yes. I mean, that is a perfect delivery system, especially if it's a nice, I'm sorry to say the word, moist cupcake. You get the frosting, you get the cupcake portion, the cake. And it's all very good. Or in your situation, you just want the frosting.
Exactly.
It just does the job.
So here's the question. Frosting or cake? 855-75. I know, hard lines here. 855-752-4842. Audio sorbet today. Frostings or cakes? What are you leaning towards? Calvin, how do you feel about this?
Wow. I promise I'm not doing this to be political.
Oh, no.
I'm a bit of a Goldilocks. Like, it's all about the ratio. Like, it's got to be just the right amount of both. For frosting on a cupcake, I would say should be about 70% cake and 30% frosting.
I mean, that makes sense.
I think that's a fair ratio.
I think that very much makes sense. If you had 70% frosting and 30% cake.
And then it's too much.
You're just, you just want frosting. I get that. That makes you a centrist, a person who wants to bring balance. That's a good balance.
Balance to the world.
But you also said you love, what did you say? You love vanilla frosting and what kind of cake?
Yellow cake.
Yellow cake. So it's also. And I mean this with love. It's a basic cupcake, right?
Yeah. I mean, you can throw some sprinkles on there if you want.
Oh, that's a whole other discussion.
Oh, God.
I didn't think we were going to veer off into sprinkles.
Sprinkles? That is another one, too. Oh, I enjoy a sprinkle.
I went pro sprinkle.
I'm pro sprinkle. I love I love metallic looking sprinkles.
I like the chalk. Even they're not really chocolate.
No,
though,
they're not.
Are they?
No, they're not. No,
they're more like kind of coconut, actually.
Oh, get out of here! Ugh,
I know you hate coconut.
Now I'm never going to eat that. Ugh. All right, I have a new position. No more sprinkles.
Okay,
they're the devil.
Andrew from Maine texting in: a cupcake without frosting is a muffin.
That's a fair point.
That's an excellent point, Andrew. Carmela from Milwaukee: does this make Jane a cake topper? Ha! instead of a muffin topper.
I feel like
I like that, Carmella.
I feel like no matter what happens, I can't say anything to that statement. That just sounds like I'm going straight to HR. So I'll let that just hang in the balance. Let's see here. Cassandra on the live stream says powdered sugar frosting is delicious. I don't care what anyone says. All right.
See, I'm sorry, Cassandra. I would disagree. I'm with Corey on the buttercream or sour or cream cheese. Cheese frosting.
A sour cream or a cream cheese. Oh my gosh. Get in my face.
Tasty.
What is powdered sugar frosting?
It's just powdered sugar and a little milk.
I guess either I've never had that or I've never noticed it. This is a new thing for me. I'm learning. Jane, I'll never evolve if I don't learn.
Look at what you learn on this program.
Yeah.
855-752-4842 if you would like to join our conversation. Frosting versus cupcake.
Who does, I'm sorry, is there anybody out there who's like, cupcake, no frosting?
Oh, yeah. Mm. Oh, there are anti-frosting. I know there are anti-frosting.
But I feel like they don't even go near the cupcake then.
Then they would go for the muffin.
And it's not even a cupcake, because a cupcake, in essence, is a cake that fits in the size of a cup. A cake denotes the cake itself with a frosting, right? Am I wrong?
Well, a cake can also have layers in it.
Oh, I love layered cakes.
You're diverting into a whole nother topic.
We're talking about dessert, Jane. I haven't even gotten on the Jimmy's versus Sprinkles section of this discussion.
855-752-4842. We're talking about frosting and cupcakes and muffins and tops. Roger from Stevens Point texting in, I buy the excellent muffins at Quick Trip. To me, they are larger cupcakes without frosting.
And that's would you agree, Jane, that muffins, I know you don't enjoy, but you don't enjoy them. But I feel like muffins now, like muffins when I was a kid, there was poppy seed muffin. There was a bran muffin.
No one eats
plain muffin. Why don't you just punch me in the face? But now it's like super double chocolate vanilla dipped in this blah, 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 muffin. It's like, this is just a dessert.
There's 47 things in it.
Yeah, it's we realize how bland and boring muffins are, so we have to throw on 9 layers of sweet to get people anywhere. And then people have the audacity to say, well, I had a muffin for breakfast. No, you didn't.
Yeah, you had a snack.
Yeah.
You had a treat. Cassandra again on the live stream. The grocery store cupcake frostings are the worst, though. They're always way too sweet, and the food dye stays on your face all day. I'll take your word for that, Cassandra. I appreciate that.
Tom from New Berlin, listening to WAUK, says, buttercream frosting. My mother made wedding cakes with that. Me and my siblings would fight over licking the bowl.
Buttercream frosting.
Oh, buttercream frosting.
Andrew from Maine, all frosting is great.
Disagree.
I agree. But as I get older, like Caliente, I strive for a more balanced ratio between frosting and frosting delivery system, be it a cupcake, cake, graham crackers, celery sticks, etc.
Whoa, what?
Why should frosting be limited to cakes?
No. I'm on board with your lifestyles. I'm pro dessert and pro you living your life. But I have never heard anyone using a celery stick as a frosting delivery device.
Let's see, celery sticks are like peanut butter delivery systems.
It's a fair point. Both sweet. You're right. You're absolutely right. I guess it's that thing of like, it's never crossed my mind. Therefore, now I got to go home and find, because I know we have frosting somewhere.
Think about it all the time.
No, I'm going to do it when I get home today. I'm going to put a picture up there and be like,
it's our goal to eventually see people just carrying around tubs of cream cheese and frosting. And that's how we'll go through life.
How did Greg die? Massive heart attack from celery sticks and frosting. Huh?
When we return, we will wrap up the show, as we always do, with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it is the Take a Seat edition. Again, if you ever have a thing that you think this just should not be, send it in to Greg and me. Stay away from politics. Jane says at civicmedia.us, JaneSays, Jane says at civicmedia.us. Stay close. We will be right back on the Civic Media Radio Network. Don't go away.
Gave me love when there was none. You know you're the only one here that's in my heart to stay.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night.
This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Visit the Milwaukee County Zoo this summer to enjoy so many species of connection. Home to more than 2,200 animals and over 340 species, kids can dig into dinos at the zoo's summer exhibit. At Exploration Dinosaur, presented by Meyer, you'll unearth the past and explore prehistoric bones, teeth, and more from mighty dinosaurs like T-Rex and Triceratops. It's an exciting, hands-on adventure with life-size dinos. Exploration Dinosaur is open daily through October 5th. Learn more at MilwaukeeZoo.org.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. For the last few months, Governor Tony Evers has said repeatedly that he would make a decision about whether or not to run for a third term after the state budget process is completed. In a recent opinion column at the Recombobulation Area, I made the argument that the decision that Evers should make should be to not seek a third term as Wisconsin's governor. This argument is not one of ideological differences or policy disagreements. Tony Evers has been a good governor and has served the state well. This more has to do with Evers' age. He'll be 75 years old in November 2026, and about how the Democratic Party has had a massive, inescapable problem in its unwillingness to pass the torch to the next generation. Tony Evers needs to do what so many other Democrats have struggled so mightily to do and step aside when the time is right. And after Joe Biden's catastrophic 2024, this is a conversation we need to be having, and we need to be having it now. Democrats can't keep repeating the same mistakes over and over. It's time to do things differently.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Mark Sommerhauser, the communications director for the Wisconsin Policy Forum, analyzing the impacts of the big brutal bill.
That number that you mentioned of nearly $15,000 per person, literally about a quarter of the state's economy.
Basically a quarter of the state's economy coming from the federal government. I'm not hearing from Republicans in the state in their biennial budget planning any sort of contingency plan for major disruption in federal funding coming into the state.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Dr. Kristen Lyerly joins us now.
3 in 4 people have no idea that the hospital I work at in northern Minnesota will likely close if this big, beautiful bill passes, as will the hospital in Manitowoc, Wisconsin. So it is incumbent upon us to have these conversations with each other, not in a hostile way, but in a genuine way about our values and the things that we deeply care about.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine, 855-752-4842. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Some much warmer weather coming our way. Just a reminder, keep an eye on elderly neighbors. And certainly your pets. Be careful with your dogs. It's supposed to be 90 today, and I was looking ahead a little bit, even into next week.
Yeah.
So you can feel the dew points rising.
Oh, yeah, this morning, it's when that thing of, I get up early, and you get out of the car, you get out of the garage, and you're like, oh, it's going to be a nice breezy morning. You're like, oh, it's warm.
You can feel the moisture.
Yep.
Wow. So, just keep an eye out for your pets and each other. And just a reminder as well, if you are looking for something new to style over the summer, rumor is...
What?
There's new merch coming. Matt Nair on Air merch. Not yet. In the next couple of weeks.
Yes.
In the next couple of weeks.
Yeah.
So we will give you a heads up when that becomes available. Matt Nair on Air merchandise. You can find it at civicmedia.us. Click on the shop button and pick up a new t-shirt.
Yeah. Or something else.
Or something else.
Who knows?
Exactly.
Stay tuned.
10:54, Calvin, that means it's time for...
This shouldn't be a thing.
As we always say, if you have a thing you think should not be, send it into Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. This from Mediaite. Ahmad Austin Jr. with the byline. The headline reads, watch. Tourist flees Italian museum after sitting on Van Gogh chair and crushing it.
I mean.
Last week at a museum in Verona, footage showed a man and a woman posing next to a chair in the museum, the Palazzo Muffin. That too. Posing next to a chair in museum, it was created by an Italian artist. It's called the Van Gogh chair because it is a tribute to Vincent Van Gogh's 1888 painting, Van Gogh's The Chair.
Very convoluted.
This chair was adorned with Swarovski crystals.
Yeah.
First, the woman squatted next to the chair as if she was going to sit on it. The man she was with took a photo of her. Moments later, they switched places. This is where the mistake came in. After remaining in that pose for several seconds, the man then tried to sit in the chair covered with Swarovski crystals. Unsurprisingly, the glass chair immediately broke. It just shattered. He sat on the thing and it just shattered. The woman quickly helped the man up, and then after taking a moment to realize what they've done, they ran out of the museum. Museum director Vanessa Carlton telling the BBC this was a nightmare. Of course, it was an accident, but these people left without telling us what they had done. Mm-hmm. This is a nightmare for any museum. At the time of the writing, the people in the video had not been identified. The museum has not given an estimated value for this Van Gogh chair.
I don't want to ask, but I'm going to ask. Do we have any idea where they were from?
We do not yet. I know you're afraid they're Americans.
I am both terrified and not shocked.
I do want to say, though, that my husband and I have done some traveling and done quite a bit of traveling overseas. Yeah. And we were at the Louvre in Paris a number of years ago. And there were people climbing on statues that were not Americans.
Why was there nobody there saying, hey,
Well, because
get off the
statue. Yeah. Eventually someone came around and said, don't climb on the art. But as a species, I just don't know how bright we are sometimes.
I mean, this is just there are little ropes around it. That is the international sign of don't.
Yeah, of don't sit
or
here.
Or you can't get in this club yet. I mean, it's one of the other things. And that is why I think it was two Americans. They saw those ropes and go, that's fine.
Doesn't apply to us.
I'm fine. Well, I want to sit on a bumpy glass chair.
Well, we will keep an eye on this and see if they ever find the perpetrators. Mm-hmm. Hopefully they don't belong to us.
Yeah, I hope they're like Canadian or like Swiss or
somewhere else.
A country that we're jealous of. Or Minnesotans.
We'll just blame Minnesota.
Exactly.
Now, Minnesota people are too nice. They would never do that.
Oh, they would definitely own up.
You're right. You're right. And then they'd bring a new chair. That wraps up today's episode of...
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Coming up on the show tomorrow, Dr. Kristen Lierley is going to join us after 9:30. A number of things happening in the news, including an article in today's Milwaukee Journal Sentinel about a woman with a pregnancy that needed an abortion, and she wasn't able to get the treatment that she needed. Mm-hmm. Her experience, along with much more, we will talk about that tomorrow coming up with Dr. Kristen Lierley. Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers, because without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening. It means the world. I hope you find some joy today and you have the chance to share it and keep it right here. We got news coming up next, followed by Tom Hartman from 11 to 2, Todd Alba 2 to 4, Maggie Dawn 4 to 6, and the fantastic Pete Schwabba from 6 to 8 p.m. We are the Civic Media Radio Network, and we'll see you tomorrow. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
is 540 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
CBS News Brief. President Trump says he wants a real end to Iran's nuclear program, and he posted that people should leave Tehran.
It's unclear at this point what triggered that post by the president, whether he knows of something that's coming.
CBS's Natalie Brand. Israel Today targeted Iran's missile sites, and the UN says attacks may have affected underground nuclear operations. The Minnesota lawmaker shootings have sparked new concerns for politicians in all parts of the country. CBS's Scott McFarland.
The number of threat investigations launched by U.S. Capitol Police had tripled from this time in 2017, nearly 10,000 a year.
The government says retail sales fell last month. CBS's Jill Schlesinger.
People seem to be buying a lot of cars in March and stayed away from some of the car dealerships in May, worried that higher prices were already in place.
CBS News Brief. I'm Steve Kathan.